Stop by any of the 63 Salt Lake City O'Reilly Auto Parts stores, where you'll find everyday low prices on the parts you need to keep your vehicle at its best. Our guaranteed low prices ensure you're always getting our best deal. In fact, we'll match any auto parts store's price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Yeah. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele's zine, pulling up numbers and reads. Starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
We are going live, Mountain West Connection show, MWCConnection.com. Jeremy Moss here. We'll get to everything in just a moment since the Boise State game ended just now. Chris Hondris will be joining me momentarily. Hope he's doing okay because the Broncos lost. And we'll get to this game. We're going to get to all the other games. It looked like Boise could have won this game, but all the normal places you find the show, because not everybody's listening right this moment. So I don't need to dive in and waste our breath at the beginning of the show. This is, like I said, MWCConnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, MWC Connection on the good old Twitter. Find us there. This is our tournament. We were planning on doing a show anyways tonight. It happened to line up right with Boise State ending their game. So we held off for a couple minutes. So if there's some dead air, I'll try to go and edit it real quick for you guys. So if you don't hear dead air, disregard this message here. But Boise season, we'll start with that. It's come to an end. And we can get it out of the way because during the broadcast on True TV, so hopefully y'all found the channel, which based on their Twitter, actually should have been able to find True TV because their handle was hilarious all day about trying to find the game. And where's the channel? Where's True TV? For me, it's right by TBS on DirecTV. So if you watch TBS a lot, you should know where True TV could be or should be. But here's the layout of the show. Like I said, we'll have Chris joining us momentarily. We're going to discuss this Boise State loss, which, not to say it shouldn't have been lost, but it's a game of streaks back and forth. We'll get into San Diego State playing St. John's, and then also Wyoming playing Northern Iowa. Tough draw for the Cowboys there, but a possible upset there. And then I guess we could talk about Colorado State. I haven't checked their score, but they're probably ticked around the NCAAs. The last I saw, they're losing to South Dakota. Let's give a quick score update. Maybe even a final, if that's the case here, because sorry, Rams fans, I have not been paying attention to that game tonight. Like the show will be over by the time, the game will be over by the time you get the show, but Rams are struggling. They're down 12 in the second half. So we'll keep an update on that. So when people do listen, if they want to know anything about that game, we'll get into that. But let's start with the Boise State game. Before we get in the game, we know Doug Gottlieb, excuse me, mentioned this a lot during the broadcast about, and I've heard it a million other places, and there's no reason to dwell on it much more than what it was. But NCAA says best seeds get to play close to home, but not on their home court. Dayton was underseeded a bit, not excuse, I'm just kind of laying things out. They're underseeded, should not have been in the playing game here, and especially hosting a game. They're on their home court. They have 95% are all Dayton fans there. If they're that close to the tournament, they mentioned during the broadcast, oh, it's, you don't put them out of the tournament because it's stupid if they're in because they'd host. Switch them with UCLA or something. I don't care. Do something like that. One of the last four teams in. So if you notice that committee, there's, like if you're, like if your team even is the host of an area, because you know, and Gonzaga hosts in Seattle or sometimes or Washington State, they can't even play in their host arena, even though it's not their own, but it'll stick them close to home, but not their home court. So that's not nitpicking, but it's a bad decision they should have made. Decisions like that happen. Shouldn't happen, but they do. And it just gives Boise disadvantage for the crowd, momentum, that type of stuff. So, but after the game, man, came down to the last shot. We'll play out the last, we'll kind of go in reverse order a bit. The end of the game, let's go to the very, very last play of the game. Derek Marks, what are you doing? Actually, let's go one step before that. Let's go to a few plays before that, not from the very end, but when there was about 24 seconds left, Boise had the ball down to one after a big three by Jordan Seibert there from Dayton. Makes a big three, puts him up first lead, 56-55 since, what did they say? When it was 37-36. And so first lead in a long time for them, for Dayton. Got a good look on the screen that Duncan or somebody's got to get out, commit a bit more. Let him make the layup. Don't let him get a wide open three. So they make that. Boise goes down, timeout. Everybody assumes it's going to Marks. Marks, he had, 27 points, I believe, tonight. He ended the night with that. No, 23 points, excuse me. 23 points in the night. Played well. Everybody says, oh, it's going to Marks. It's going to Marks. It's going to be him. It does not go to Marks. A shot eventually goes to Montego Alford, which shot was okay. He got close, got to the rim, just missed it, went out of bounds. Fouled right away. I forget who made the foul, but they fouled the worst shooter, Kendall Pollard, or they say 50-something percent free throw shooter. Misses both. So Boise, even if he made both, it's fine. But he misses both, so Dayton's still only up by a single point at this juncture in the game. Takes the ball down court. For some reason, Derek Marks, which he makes weird decisions a lot, he decided to, let's go dribble in the corner while double-teamed. Gets bailed out when one of the Dayton players knocks the ball out of the court. Or knocks it out of the court. Out of bounds, I should say. Four and a half seconds left. They reviewed it. Let's look at it for a minute. Okay, here's what we have. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Boise gets the ball because you can't tell. Evidence. Well, it's still off Dayton, but they couldn't tell any difference if Marks maybe tried to reach out and hit the ball again. So they get the ball, timeout, terrible angle. They're sitting like the corner three spot, essentially. They get it back in bounds. Marks kind of dribbles and does weird. And you know what's going to happen. The refs don't want to call a foul to decide the game. Because like I said before, even though this was a home game for Dayton, game was called consistent both ends. So there's no complaining about the officiating. They let him play for a while. They called, reined it back in, called it tight. So there's no complaining about that part of the game at all, at least in my opinion. Some may disagree, but I felt it was evenly called on each side of the team, especially if you look at the free throws. Only a couple more for Dayton. 14 for them, 10 for Boise State. And this gave me enough count came down to if Mark should have hit some free throws. Boise was 5 of 10, and he was 1 of 4. So there's that. We missed a couple of free throws, and I'll get to their three-point shooting, which just annoyed the heck out of me the whole game for the Broncos. But last shot, Marks stays. Remember, folks, they're down one. They don't need a three by any means. They're down 1 point. So a lot of times you look, a lot of movement, try to get the ball and go to the basket, similar to the play they did before, which unfortunately is missed by Alford. So that was, I figured, okay, they might do that. That's a smart play. Get to the hoop. If it's blatant, they'll call a foul. But Marks goes out. He does a pump fake. He does draw contact. And three points, not even close. There's a couple of things with that. While the broadcast said that's always a foul, even though it's kind of a dumb foul because the offensive player initiates contact, but he drops in the shoulder, and goes for the three ball. That's pretty much what they do. Oh, just for a quick update, I am on my own this evening. Chris is not able to come, so scratch out of him joining. So I will be solo this evening, not a problem. I have done it before, and I just saw the message just now. So instead of me saying, hey, where's Chris? Is he going to come on? Is he coming on? It's just me tonight, folks. So if you like me, yay. If you don't, you can just turn it off if you want. I'd appreciate if you listened, or at least if you downloaded, that's great at this point. But Chris will join us for another time for the show. But, man, back to that last shot. Like I think Gottlieb said it pretty best. It's called all the time. It's a terrible play to do because the offensive player does initiate a contact. The Dayton player did play pretty vertical and wasn't reaching over to foul or attack the marks on the shot. But if that can't be the best play Leon Rice drew up. That's like, no offense to UNLV fans, but Dave Rice would have been able to call a better last-second play. I know, the team as a whole was 6 of 20 from three-point range. They're terrible from shooting outside. So to have that happen for a shot where Marks was basically begging the ref or trying to make a ref make a call. You have to make a call. You don't want to be at that point where you have to rely on the officials. You want to rely on your own talent and make a play. And that was, even if it gone in or he got fouled, that still would have been a terrible decision because if the outcome is beneficial to your team, but the play itself, the play call can still be terrible and wrong. Even if he made it or something, like that was, oh, great shot. He made it, like he made a good move to make the shot. But the play itself, to do an isolation three-point shot where your attempt is to draw a foul if you don't get a good look is terrible. There is only one pass into Marks. He didn't try to do 4.5 seconds, plenty of time to do a couple, maybe two inbound passes, more than one to what they did. But you can't – it's frustrating where you can't – the refs aren't going to call a foul at the end of the game. Basketball, even though it's not right, they're not going to want to, free throws to end the NCAA tournament game or any game with 10 seconds left or a last-second shot, whatever that may be. But you can't allow that to happen. They need to attack the basket. You're down one. It's just a bad shot. That's all I can say. The bad play call, bad shot. Well, yes, a foul – could have been called and it has been called all year on that, but it's not the case. Should not have happened. But I'm looking at my Twitter here feed real quick right after the game. If people are saying it's called home court advantage for Dayton there, and like Andy Glockler says it best. I think he was still do from SI and a medium. College or whatever it may be. I think he does some SI stuff but he said the best. Boise's last two plays being terrible doesn't offset a defender jumping and then coming down with extended out at 45 degree angle. I guess I can actually rewatch the play here really quick, but if you look at the play, let's see here, let me take a quick look. You'll hear the broadcaster in the background perhaps, this is the other play they're calling. I went way too back, but basically it comes down to you can't defend you. Either if he fouled or not, that's still, like I said, still a terrible decision to do, to make that type of play. And this is a game of runs where it was close throughout, where Boise got a big lead. Dayton started out with a big lead. Boise got a big lead, went back and forth. I'm actually going to watch this play right now and see really quick, because there's 4.5 seconds left. I know this is exciting. Dayton was playing good defense. They get the one in the corner, which is a bad throw. And I can see it being a foul because his arms are overextended on top, but still, you can't let a ref bail you out doing that. And so it's just a tough – no, it's just a bad play call. I don't care if it was a foul or not. Well, it should have been – no, I shouldn't say that. If there was a foul, it should be called. But everybody watches sports. End-of-game fouls, refs will hold off on doing that. And that's all I could say. I'm just going to keep going in circles. It's a bad play. Foul could have been called, probably should have been called, but we know it won't be called unless you're basically making the guy bleed or something. And so that's essentially since we came down to the game. And Boise should not have been in this. If you back up a little bit more, Boise should not have even been in this situation because they were leading. I got the play-by-play here. They're up by 9 points. It's 50-41. Back-to-back three-pointers, Gerald Davis for Dayton, Derek Marks, 50-41. Boise's up 9 with 6:35 left. And then they exchange buckets again, so they're still up. They're actually up 9 with 4 minutes left, 4:15. Plenty of time, but that should not happen. And then Boise goes dark. They didn't make a bucket. Their last bucket of the game was a James Webb dunk with 4:15 left. They did not make a bucket basket the rest of the way. They made a couple. They made 3 points, lost four minutes and 15 seconds, where obviously Dayton made up that difference. They layup. And a three-pointer, but the cyber three-pointer to go up by one. So you can't – well, we can blame Marks and the late-game execution. The offense just went cold, and Dayton was able to make some stops. Because they – Derek Marks had a turnover. How many turnovers did he have in the last little bit? I think he had – yeah, Marks also had two turnovers, and there was a missed layup by Igor. I'm not going to pronounce his last name because I'll butcher it. Everybody knows that. Yeah, Marks missed two layups, a putback, a free throw. Jeez, his last 4 minutes was terrible. Here's kind of the line. He went 1 of 2 for free throws. He missed a layup, missed two layups, one off an offensive, missed two layups, excuse me, put back, had one turnover, two turnovers, and there is a missed layup by Igor right there. So there are multiple missed layups. And even called the Alfred a missed layup too at the end, even though it's kind of contested. But that's what I'll blame the game on. The last 4 minutes, you can't score any points. Defense didn't give up that many points at the end. They gave up, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, 12 points in 4 minutes. That's okay. It's not terrible, not great, but it's still kind of a lot of points. But the offense just went cold, and the offense went cold throughout the part of the game. It started the game. Boise was down. There's concern, at least by me. They're not playing well. They got the home crowd against them. They're down, 8-4, 10-4. They come back. They get a big lead. They're up 10. They're up 9 at the half. They let Dayton have a huge run to come back and take that lead. But it's just frustrating to see how this team, and we've seen, this is similar to when I was watching them at the Mountain West Tournament against when they lost to Wyoming, settling for three-pointers, and that's what they did for a lot of the first half. Three-pointer miss. They made a couple. They ended up 6-20 and only get 5 of 10 from the line. It's a bad loss. They had that's all I can say. There's not much more to add to this game. You can complain about the last second call, which probably should happen, but that's a bad shot selection anyways. You can complain about being a home court, which is a legitimate concern, but you can't blame you have a 9-point lead with 4 minutes left. They had two leads in this game. They're up 29-20 at the half. They were up and then up again, you're up 9 at the half and 9 with 4 minutes left and you blow it. That's all you can say. They blew this game. They were ahead by enough, and they should have won. That's all it comes down to it. Marks played well, except for the last 5 minutes, 4.5 minutes of the game with the two turnovers. And if he made a couple more, even missing a couple of free throws. I'm not saying he made them all, but if you make two free throws, if you're 7 of 10, that's reasonable. Because you got Nick Duncan missed one, and you got Igor missed one, then Marks missed three, and then Montego Alford made both of his. They out-rebounded Dayton. They had 12-3 offensive rebounding edge. So second chance opportunities were there. They didn't get any of those. Dayton did make one more three-pointer from them, but they're only 7-21. It just came down to the last few minutes, and Boise, I'll say they choked. They didn't get it done. So their season's over. They are now 0-7 career-wise in the Mountain West, in the NCAA tournament. And Derek Marks, senior leaves. He had 23 points. Good game overall, essentially. He was the only Boise State player who showed up on offense. That's, I can say that for sure. Nick Duncan, 1 point. Tarrant, 1 point. James Webb had 13. James Webb almost had probably it would have been the most amazing dunk of the tournament so far. I know, 3-4 games in. But I would have lasted as one of the best for probably throughout the whole tournament or close to it. Took off way too far. Got rejected by the rim. He only had 8 points. He did have 13 rebounds. But, yeah, Montego Alford had 11 points and Marks had 23. That's it. There wasn't enough balance in the scoring. And Boise's known to score points. Duncan's a big key. He was a tournament, all-tournament player for the Mountain West. Mikey Thompson, 0 for 6 from the field. Nobody was shooting. Marks, you could say Marks maybe hogged the ball a bit, 10 to 21. But, man, got to have somebody else in double digits. You look at Dayton. They had three players in double digits and only played two players off the bench. Boise has a deep bench and played five guys. They couldn't wear them down. Dayton only has, if you heard the broadcast a million times, 7 scholarship players. That's it. I don't recall. I think there are some injuries or something. I don't know exactly. But this is a game Boise let go and choked it away. That's all there's to it. So let's move on. I'm done. I'm frustrated. I need to write the recap really quick. So I will get that later, and you can listen to this as a recap perhaps. But looks like also a side note, South Dakota State's going to beat Colorado State, 83-66, 3.5 minutes left. So Rams season is done as well. They probably weren't motivated, didn't care, so they're out. Now we're down to Wyoming and San Diego State. San Diego State is an 8 seed, so they're technically advantaged over – or have the advantage over St. John's. You have Wyoming's playing Northern Iowa, ranked, 9? I want to say 9-11 in both bowls. They won the Missouri Valley Tournament 5 seed. So we will start in chronological order, as we like to do for football when we do the football show. This game, it's Wyoming versus Northern Iowa. It is played in Seattle. Good, no big deal. 10:40 a.m. local time. Friday, I should say. Sorry, if I said Thursday, apologies. Both these games are on Friday. So you got a day to listen to this if you want. Hopefully we get a few people listen. But right now, or it's a 1:40 Eastern. It's on TBS, so make sure you find TBS. 10:48. I remember there's some games like that in Arizona when they're Pacific time, which I think they are this time of year, like 10 a.m. local time. It's ridiculous. Here's the thing. Even though Northern Iowa isn't ranked right around the top 10, they're only a 6.5-point favorite over Wyoming. And if you look at, I'm looking at ESPN's Pick Center, it's about a 56% consensus about the spread will be right. Number fire says the average score will be 63-57 for Northern Iowa. And then TeamRankings.com had the same thing, basically a 6-point spread. So this is a game, and a lot of people are calling for the upset a little bit, like myself, Wyoming's playing well. Well, here's the thing. Both teams are underseeded. Northern Iowa probably could be higher just because the Valley is – people know the Valley is a good conference. Wyoming has Larry Nance back, and he's finally fully healthy from mono. And he proved that in the final 2 games of Mountain West tournaments. And Wyoming, here's the thing. The bench is an issue. Bench is low. Bench doesn't play many minutes, as we saw hanging on to beat San Diego State. They don't have that many bench players. That's an issue. But you need Josh Adams to have a big game. If you have Adams and Nance get about 18 each, they'll probably win. Because both these teams, Northern Iowa's coach, I put a video up on the website. I think it's Jacobson is his name, if I recall. I'm not looking it up right now. Maybe I will, but no, I'll leave it alone. And their head coach basically says, yeah, we mirror Wyoming. And that's true. They both score low point. They both won a lower possession game. They are both well at the bottom half the NCAA in points per game. They won about mid-60s is where NIU wants it. Wyoming about 60. They're both not very good at rebounding, which is good. They both shoot the ball reasonably well. Wyoming, 48% for – it's only a 2% difference, really. And it's like – I find that funny. 48% for NIU, they're 16th. Look at Wyoming, they're 462, that's 60th. So they both shoot the ball well. When you look at who they've played, that's a big issue. Because Wyoming, there are some things where they don't play anybody. Mountain West was down. Even Missouri Valley, you got them. And then you also have Wichita State, who's in top 15 right now. Got a reasonably good seed. But when you look who they play, besides playing Wichita State twice, they lost. They played VCU, lost in overtime. They beat Virginia Tech. They did beat Stephen F. Austin in overtime. That's a solid win. They beat Northwestern, so I guess it's a Big Ten team. So if you want to count that as something special. I'm trying to find their RPI here. I thought I had it up, but maybe I do not, or unless they defense changed their page right at the last minute. Yeah, they removed RPI. Let me go to CBS here. But this game, it comes down to, it's simple. Nance and Josh Adams, that's what it comes down to. Simple as that. Those two guys play well. Wyoming has a chance to win and could win. Not just saying that because Wyoming, they're both teams are not seated where they should be, I don't think. But Wyoming could be higher just because the only way they're getting in was winning the Mountain West Tournament and going, I believe, 3-3 when Nance came back in. And I believe 5-5 for the two games, a couple games is out. So they weren't playing well down the stretch. They struggled versus Utah State in the tournament. They basically snuck by every team they played, Boise State and Wyoming. So here we go. I just want to compare the RPI for a minute. Northern Iowa. Let me see if I find them here. I love searching for stuff during the show. They are 14, so their RPI is pretty high compared to Wyoming, where they had 80. No, 71 for the win. So they got the advantage there for who they play. Even though RPI is not the best tool, it's not a predictive tool. It's kind of based off who you play. But here's the thing. And a lot of people are saying NIU can be, oh, they're a sleeper team to possibly even make the Final Four, which I've heard both ways. You got Wyoming fans, yeah, Wyoming can do it. And you got Northern Iowa, like, well, they're 30-3, which is amazing. Well, Wyoming's at 25-9. I don't want to say Wyoming's going to win, but if this game plays out like Wyoming's bringing the ball, which it should, because UNI, is not going to run up and down the court. They're not going to go crazy on the shooting the ball. They don't rebound well, so rebounding edge, there's no advantage there. This is just a game. If you look who they have, like what Northern Iowa kind of wants to do, like for us, for their production, they have Seth Tuttle, and that's about it. They go deeper than Wyoming. I mean, they play 9 players, I believe. Yeah, 9 players play at least 13 minutes per game. But scoring, any one player can have a big game scoring. Their best player, Seth Tuttle, with 15 points, 6 boards a game. Then everybody else, you got guys, 3 guys with 7, a couple guys with 6, 3 more with 5. Not that there's no prolific scorer, which means Wyoming doesn't have to key on Tuttle a bit more. But out of anybody else, that's about it. Tuttle's their guy. Shoot 62% from the field, 43% from three-point. They shoot 40% overall from three-point range. So the outside shot is where they need to have a threat, where they are a threat to Wyoming. Excuse me. But they just need – they can't have any one player break out. Like, let me click on one player. Let me click on just Wes Washburn for Northern Iowa. He scores 7 points a game. He's the second leading scorer on the team. So, but he does have games where he has 15, 12, 16. He has multiple games. Like years ago, when they played Loyola, Illinois, he scored 0 points. And he's been playing less minutes. So they spread the minutes around. So where the disadvantage to Wyoming is the bench. This is probably the biggest difference. Besides if Tuttle has a big game, 3-point shooting is a big deal. But the depth. If Wyoming gets in any foul trouble, NIU for Northern Illinois. The Panthers, we'll go with that. They could sub in 4 guys at a time, but Wyoming's rarely going to sub unless you foul trouble. And if Wyoming gets in any foul trouble, well, I'll stick with the pun, they're in trouble. I'm not going to win the game. And Wyoming can play different styles. For the Boise State, they could attack the basket, get the points out. Versus San Diego State, they're going for three point shots instead. So that's kind of what they did. So they can play both styles. So again, Wyoming's an athletic team. They can run up the floor off turnovers. They move, even though they want less few possessions, they still move and run and motion their offense. Whether it's screens on the outside, attacking the basket, whatever it may be. And here's what head coach Wyoming Larry Schott said. He said, I would say that there is some similarity between the two programs. For the most part, we have young men who – blah, blah, blah. Okay, it's always – he goes on – sorry, not to go blah, 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 but I didn't read it before. Just saying good people, good students. They've been good for a while at Northern Iowa has. And then I guess the head coach, it's Ben Jacobson, or friends with Larry Schott. And basically, here's what the other coach said, Jacobson. I spent a lot of time watching Wyoming play simply because they've been one of the best defensive teams in the country. The numbers pop off the page. I've really enjoyed getting to know Schott and, boy, watching them play some more now that we're playing them. I have a lot of fun watching them play when I was trying to learn stuff for our team. So they are very similar. Both are defensive teams, and they mirror each other. And one of the key things is that, like it says here, I'm reading a few quotes from the trip.com from, I think it's Mike Vorrell there to put this up. Yeah, Mike Vorrell from the Tribune there. I believe it's a Trib, or just trip.com. That's all I got here. So, but few possessions is probably the key to the game. There are two of the slowest teams in the country. Here's what's crazy. Wyoming averages 59.6 possessions per game, which is 345th. And Panthers are even slower at 58.4, so one possession. So while this game could be a 45-42 game, it could be. It's not to say it's not exciting, because every shot will count, every shot will matter, every possession, the few that are there, will matter. And so basically, here's what another guy says there. If you're going to have limited opportunities, you have to make sure you're doing the right things and getting the right looks. So that's all I can say. You got to rebound. Like, a couple things on one. I mean, they don't rebound that well. They don't block out unless it's Larry Nance, essentially. He's a center. Well, plays forward, essentially. Kind of, he plays the five for Wyoming, but you just got to get those rebounds. You got to get quick points. That's going to be, I think, the key in this game. Whoever can get, there's going to be, if there's 65 possessions, that's probably going to be a lot. So those couple possessions, if you get a quick turnover and a bucket, if you get a steal and go quick, that'll give you the, it happened a few times, in, I forget which game it was, I think it was the Boise State game. Yeah, because Boise will force the pace a bit. So Wyoming can prove to go fast, but that's not going to happen this game, most likely. You just need to get those quick points off turnovers. Just say, okay, got a couple, a possession that lasts 5 seconds, get you 2 points. So a point per possession could be higher if you go quick and score. So that's what they need to do. As for my prediction, I picked Wyoming Sweet 16. I'll say it now. They're the Sweet 16 team I'm picking. That would have them be, if I should probably pull up a bracket here, they are playing. Oh, sorry, I got a message from Chris. I need to apologize. I mentioned something to him. There's a reason why he's not here, so he probably not going to talk about it. But it's obviously more important than jerking around and talking some hoops. So hope everything works out well for that. But as for who they play, you see, if I was more prepared, I'd have a bracket set up. I'd have my bracket pulled up. Let's see here. Let me just pull up any old brackets to see. But they'd be playing the fourth seed, which would be, I don't even know. I have them winning 2 games. I know this is lovely radio and I don't know what's going on, but I'm picking them Sweet 16. Here we go. They'd probably be playing Louisville or UCLA. I just picked them over Louisville just because. So there's a small possibility for that. But that's where I'm picking Wyoming to go out in the third round, make the Sweet 16. Because I think, again, I know we could be homers here, but I really think they're a team with Nance, if him and Adams play well, they could beat a lot more teams, because earlier in the year they were playing very well, weren't losing. I know their schedule wasn't the best, but they're beating teams, and that's what matters. And that's what they were doing with Nance at full health. And I think that's how they can catch a couple of teams sleeping, and I think they will. Next game. I was checking my time for a minute. I thought we were out of time, but I guess chatting by yourself, it doesn't go as fast. But next game is San Diego State playing St. John's. This game is played in the evening. It's on regular old, good old CBS at 9:40 Eastern. So perfect timing for those West Coasters, so 6:40. And they play in Charlotte. And St. John's, we did a Q&A with Rumble in the Garden, so check that out. They give a lot of good information on there. This game, a couple of things. Dwayne Pulley actually went to St. John's for a year, transferred back to San Diego State to be close to his mom, who was not feeling well. So there's some familiarity with that. So with St. John's, they are in the – what conference are they in? Sorry, no, I'm kidding. They're in the Big East. All the changes, they've always been the Big East. New York City's team, they play in the Garden a lot. And – to get to know, like, to know about St. John's, there's a couple of things. They're coached by Steve Lavin, who somehow had all those teams in UCLA make multiple Sweet 16s, which they never should have. But then again, he says when he did our Q&A, Lavin considered himself not to be a good tournament coach. I think part of it was in UCLA, some of those teams were not expected to do well, and so they overachieved. Like, yeah, we're playing loose, we'll do what we want. But the biggest thing about them is Chris Obikik, I'm going to butcher the name, Chris Obikik, Obekpa, that guy, Chris Obeka, is suspended. Now it's a couple hours before the brackets were announced that he's going to be out. And he was their backline defense. He was their center. He played underneath the hoop and blocked shots, eraser, all those type of things, what you want to call. He was a defensive force for them. And without him, he's the leader of the defense. Even when he played like Jahlil Okafor against Duke, he played well against them. He was their key player and he's out. And that's where I'm thinking that's why I think San Diego State's going to get the win. Probably because you lose one of your best players, suspended. I don't even know why the reason. I just know he's out. So I don't recall why. So I don't want to say, like I was about to say suspension. I don't know exactly what it was, but he's out. Not playing. So St. John's will go small with the 5-guard lineup. As long as they can, essentially, foul trouble. And here's where San Diego State has issues. I saw them play. Their scoring is inconsistent. While selective in their shooting, they're inconsistent and can miss a lot of layups and easy baskets. They'll settle for threes. They'll pass once or twice and shoot with 28 seconds in the shot clock. And so St. John's will want to push the ball and shoot within 10 seconds. That'll be interesting to see with San Diego State's defense because they like to press the ball. They'll mix and match a press. They've done zone versus Wyoming in the title game. They start off the zone, then finally put pressure on Larry Nance, doubled him, shadowed the defender next to him. He had 4 points after going off, I think 4 points. Started off with 10 points, didn't score much the rest of the game. And so that's what they'll try to do. And Aztecs, they can move fast. They're athletic. They'll be quick. They'll do it. I don't know if St. John's can play their type of offense the whole game how they want to play. I don't think they're going to go down and get a quick shot every time just because how suffocating the defense will be for the Aztecs. They'll get that off. Their offense will be, they'll, if you pass, if they have crisp passing, get it quick off the inbounds, off a free throw, get it down the court right away, you'll be able to get your offense going for St. John's right away. But I would put that, I'm betting 50-50 where they'll get it sometimes, sometimes they won't. And I haven't seen St. John's play a lot, so I know this is not the best. It's, hopefully you trust my opinion, but read our Q&A we did with those guys. They're much better and more proficient in St. John's. But just the way Aztecs can play defense, like you get, remember against Arizona, they can play defense, played well. They almost had that game way back in Maui or in November. And so they like to shoot three-point shots. They'll shoot far. Go watch out for Phil Green, the fourth there. If he gets hot for St. John's, he gets going. And then I guess his actual name, Sir Dominic Poynter, can attack the basket. So there's that. But the funniest thing, I know I'm bouncing around, but one of the funniest things about this is Steve Lavin's scouting report on the Aztecs. For those who are wondering, for those who know anything about San Diego State, they don't like to score points. They're just a low possession team, low scoring team, and I'll say it, they're not the best shooting team. They only shoot 41% from the field, which is lower third in the country. They're 305th, and I know points per game isn't everything, but they're 305th. They want to score about 61 points a game. And I don't know what Steve Lavin was looking at or what tape it was. Here's his quote. San Diego State prefers an up-tempo style of play similar to ours. My quick snapshot before we start doing our film work is that it will be an up-tempo affair. Not the case. Their Aztecs are actually 334th in adjusted for tempo when you look at KenPom. And Aztecs allow 53 points per game. And the Aztecs play one guard and Akil Quinn. So if St. John's goes five guards, here's the thing. It's gonna be a chess match in this game. You got both these coaches are very good. You got Steve Lavin doing good things at UCLA, doing good things at St. John. He's a good coach. Steve Fisher, national title of Michigan, helps to have the Fab Five, but he basically turned San Diego State around from nothing to arguably top three team out west. Arizona, Gonzaga, maybe San Diego State. They're in that class. Yeah. You know what I mean? UNLV is sometimes there, but they're top five at the very worst in the West Coast. Top three probably right there. And so Fisher's done a great job building it back up. But this will be a chess match because if St. John's goes small, it's like who's going to break first? Will Steve, once the game plays along, if it's not going to Fisher's way, will he break and go to a small lineup to match up with the St. John's? But it means not the talent isn't out there that he wants all the time. But if they stay small versus big, St. John's can blow past Aztecs, who can get in foul trouble, which was shown in the Mountainous title game. That could be an issue. There's the advantage for St. John's going fast and beating the guys who are a little bit slower just because of the size difference. But then if you go on Aztecs offense, if they're smart about it, if you have that size advantage, get to the hoop. Guys can stick with you, but likely more fouls. Back it in, do some more post-up, work it inside to whoever you're going to give it to. Jeez, J.J. O'Brien, doesn't matter. Winston Shepherd. Don't settle for the outside shot. Attack the basket and keep it inside. You'll have the offensive rebounding edge, which Aztecs, or the rebound in general, could be better. But and St. John's is a pretty good rebounding team despite their size. And the Aztecs are about the same in what they average. But without their key player there for St. John's, the guy, I'll butcher the name if I say it every time, Chris Obika. I'll go that route. That's what I'll say. Obekpa? Sure, I'll go with that. If he's out, he's your center. He's gone. Rebounding edge helps Aztecs even more. Bigger lineup helps even more. So I'm everything points to an Aztec victory. However, I'll go there. However, the shooting for San Diego State and sometimes the shot selection, which you look at Quinn's final attempt against Wyoming, why shoot that 3-on-2 against Wyoming, the deep, not deep three, but a three-pointer? Well, I don't understand the point you're down two. If the Aztecs go cold shooting, which clearly can be done, I'll repeat myself a million times, they have stretches where they can't shoot the ball, they miss easy buckets, they're just not the best offensive team. It's just like, well, it's Aztec basketball and they don't make a bucket. But Aztecs are going to win if they can shoot. Give me 41% from the field. Give me 43, 2% higher than normal. But if their defense can play suffocating as they can, the offense will move just well enough. I wonder if Lavin's wondering if he's seen highlights, because Aztecs will run off a quick turnover. Their normal tempo, they're not going to do that. But it's like Wyoming. They go slow. They want few possessions. But if there's a steal or a turnover, they're going to run and move the ball quick. Any team in the country does that. I don't care if you're whatever it is, last place in point, no, in possessions or tempo. If there's a steal, you're not going to say, hold up, guys. Slow it down. Let's run the offense. If you have an advantage on a fast break, you're going to take it, whether it's a missed rebound, a steal, or anything. You're going to take it. So maybe that's what Lavin's looking at, but I'm picking San Diego State to win. I just think St. John's is – they're a good team. They made the tournament. They're 21-11. Big East is on par with the Mountain West. St. John's made it to the semis. They lost to Providence in their only game in the NCAA, or the Big East tournament, and lost bad. They're coming off two bad losses. They lost 105-68 to Villanova, which is Villanova. They're one of the best, number two, I think, at the moment. They're a top five team of some sort. They're up there. But then they lose to Providence by 74-57, getting crushed by them. And so it's just, even though the Aztecs didn't play well versus Wyoming, I'm going to San Diego State. They're going to win. And the Aztecs, after that, I do not see them being the Duke Blue Devils playing in Charlotte. That would be nice. That would be great if they could. Krzyzewski versus Fisher, that's a pretty good matchup for head coaches, but I don't see that happening. But Aztecs get a win. Happy with that. Mountain West needs to represent the tournament, because there's been so many times. They had five teams a couple years ago. Got nothing. UNLV's had a really good team. Not much. You got Steve Fisher losing to Florida Gulf Coast a couple years ago when they were a 15 seed. Florida Gulf Coast was a 15 seed. And Aztecs didn't make Sweet 16. They did make the Sweet 16. Was it last? I want to say last year, but I want to look it up so I'm not entirely wrong here. Let me take a quick look. I think it was last, because I remember they played Oklahoma. And then they beat Georgetown, I want to say. I am looking it up because I don't want to be wrong here. So we got a few minutes left here in the show. Yes, they made it to the Sweet 16 and lost to Arizona by 6. So, yeah, they beat – I don't care. They beat two double-digit seeds. That's fine. New Mexico State and North Dakota State. I'm fine with that. But I think they'll win one game. But if the Mountain West can get two wins, being where they're seeded, they're expected to get one. Technically one because of 8-9. Really, that's a toss-up. As for the odds in this game, I probably should mention that because I did for the other game. San Diego State's like plus 2 or something. Let me go to the scoreboard here. I actually hate trying to maneuver this ESPN website. Like, oh, here's where you want to scroll down of a full video ad playing for you right before you want to look up something. Now, if you go to the Pick Center on ESPN.com, Insider, so if you have that, great. Aztecs are a 3-point favorite. Team rankings has them by 3, number fire. 64% of the time they should cover the spread. That's not win, but cover that 3-point spread. So there's that. And, yeah, actually it was a 2-point line for a while, but it's up to 3 as of now. But here's a quick thing how both either team has been playing all that great. Against the spread, they're 5-5. St. John's are 5-4-1. There's no point in mentioning the underdog or home, or the home dog or away dog or home favorite, away favorite. Doesn't matter. But I'm picking Aztecs to win 65 points seems kind of bad. I don't think – well, no, I'll give St. John's some pub on their offense. They'll be able to make some plays and move the ball quick. So it's going to be – if it gets to 70, I'll be shocked. It'll be under 70 points, but Aztecs will probably win like by five or so. And I just think their defense is too much. And if they're smart, the size advantage in offense, they'll get those extra second chance points and throw down those buckets. So if both these teams win, we'll have two teams on Sunday. It'll be awesome. If we get a Sweet 16, even better. But that's all we got for tonight. Thank you for bearing with me, for going solo. Again, hope the beginning of the show is correct with me waiting for Boise to end. So there might be some dead air, but I'll try to fix that if possible. But thanks for checking us out. Check the website at MWCConnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, Twitter, MWC Connection, all that good stuff. Check out our site. Check it all out. We'll have Game Thread for Friday. So let's have a good weekend for Mountain West Hoops. And we will next show, we'll probably recap all these games, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening, folks. And iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, all those places, give us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.